Hello, welcome to Campbelltown Free Church for Psalm of the Week. And this week's Psalm is Psalm 83. Psalm 83 is Asaph's 12th and final contribution to the Book of Psalms. It has two parts. The first, verses 1 to 8, describes a conspiracy against God's people, while the second, verses 9 to 18, focuses on a prayer by God's people. Let's read it together. Psalm 83, a song, a psalm of Asaph. O God, do not keep silent. Do not be quiet. Do not be inactive, O God. See how your enemies are astir, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. With one mind they plot together. They form an alliance against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarites, Jebal, Ammon and Amalekites, Philistia with the people of Tyre. Even Assyria has joined them to lend strength to the descendants of Lot. Do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor and became like refuge on the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take possession of the pasture lands of God. Make them like tumbleweed, O my God, like chaff before the wind. As fire consumes the forest, or a flame sets the mountains ablaze, so pursue them with your tempest, and terrify them with your storm. Cover their faces with shame, so that men will seek your name, O Lord. May they be ashamed and disgraced. May they perish in disgrace. Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Amen. The three short, sharp requests with which the psalm opens in verse 1, do not keep silent, do not be quiet, do not be inactive, they alert us to the gravity of the situation. God's people are at the wrong end of a conspiracy whose aim is their total destruction, verses 2 and 3. The 10 conspirators are listed in verses 6 to 8. But this aggressive coalition encircling God's people is not a conspiracy of equals. The lead nation in this plot is the one listed last, Assyria, verse 8. Assyria is using the other 9 nations in this alliance as pawns to carry out its agenda of eliminating God's people, verse 4. Come, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. In Old Testament thought, for a nation's name to be remembered no more means only one thing, genocide, the complete annihilation of that nation. Because this is the aim of this conspiracy, it gives us an insight into what is really going on here. This goes deeper than the politics of that time. The real major player in this conspiracy is not Assyria, but it is Satan. This is a coalition of evil, Satan's latest attempt to destroy God's plan of salvation by wiping out God's people through whom the promised Saviour would come. It goes back to Genesis 3 verse 15 and Genesis 12 verse 3. This 10 nation conspiracy led by Assyria appeared to be attacking Israel. But in attacking God's people, they were in fact attacking God himself. Something Saul of Tarsus discovered on the road to Damascus. Acts 9 verses 4 and 5. When Saul is confronted by Jesus, he says to Saul, 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 why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. You see, every assault on God's people is an assault on God himself, God's gospel and God's kingdom. How do we respond to ongoing conspiracies to destroy God's people? We begin by realizing that we're involved in a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2 reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil, which means that we must only fight with spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Psalm 83 verses 9 to 18 remind us that any conspiracy that seeks the destruction of God's people is to be countered by prayer that seeks the deliverance of God's people. In verses 9 to 12, military campaigns recorded in the book of Judges when enemies were hell-bent on destroying people, God's people are recalled. God defeated them. You see, the names of the human leaders God used to rescue his people are not mentioned in these verses in order to make it clear that it was God who really saved Israel from her enemies. By recalling God's deliverance in the past, the psalmist is asking God to do it again in his time. It's a similar prayer to Habakkuk 3 verse 2. O Lord, I have heard what you have done. Now do it again in our times, the great deeds you used to do. He's asking God for a rout, not merely the retreat of those scheming against God and his people. He prays that God's name might be honoured. Verse 18, let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. If God's name is to be honoured, two things must happen. Either those opposing God, his people and his rule, are totally humiliated and crushed. Verses 13 to 15 and verse 17. May they be ashamed, may they perish in disgrace. Or they are converted and begin to serve the God they are opposing. The end of verse 16. So that men will seek your name, O Lord. This reminds us of a question that Abraham Lincoln asked. Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? We see both these happening in the first section of the book of Acts. God delivered his church from Saul's persecution by saving him and turning him into Paul, Acts chapter 9. But God delivered his church from Herod Agrippa's persecution by killing him, Acts chapter 12. These two methods of deliverance are not mutually exclusive. Sometimes people must be brought to nothing so that they may be brought to God. Jesus taught us in Matthew 6 verse 10 to pray, your kingdom come. And praying for the coming of God's kingdom is similar to praying the prayer of Psalm 83. Praying for the coming of God's kingdom involves praying that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, with ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it. When we pray for those who attack God's church, we need to keep these two methods of how God delivers us in our minds and in our prayers. Let us pray. Mighty God, the sovereign protector of your people, help us, for we are under constant attack from the evil one and those who do his dirty work. Deliver us from their assaults, thwart their malicious plans, humiliate them by exposing the wickedness of their schemes. Bring them low so that they might repent and seek you, surrendering to you rather than fighting against you. In your mercy, do to them what you did to Saul of Tarsus, saving him and transforming him into Paul, and not what you did to Herod Agrippa. Mighty God, the sovereign protector of your people, may your kingdom come, overthrow and destroy Satan's kingdom of darkness and lies by the light and truth of the gospel. Strengthen and establish your kingdom of grace and hope by bringing more and more people into it. By the Holy Spirit's power, keep us in your kingdom until we arrive safely and with great joy at the everlasting kingdom of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Again, thank you very much for watching and listening. May God bless you.